A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 18th of October, 2020. We shall continue with our sharing of this book, The Path to Truth, for practitioner, Bodhisattva practitioner. Then we are at page 200. The title is To Realize and Create Blessings Through Witnessing and Relieving Suffering. So this topic is very interesting. Realize and create blessings through witnessing and relieving suffering. This topic is very good, especially for those who are helping out in activity that helps to relieve suffering. When you are doing things, that is a blessing to all, especially the like the Tsuji volunteer and all the other Buddhists or other religious volunteer. You can actually realize and create blessing through witnessing and doing the work of relieving sufferings to fellow living beings. This one is very true. That's the reason why this book, The Path to Truth, is a very good book. It's very applicable for those who like to do this style of work. So this title, The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner, is very, very relevant, very apt. So I will read through and explain to you so that you understand. In practicing the Tsuji Dhamma path, this is their Dhamma path, their way. We must commit to treading the Bodhisattva path. See, it's always involving the Bodhisattva way or the Bodhisattva path and engaging with people to comfort those who are suffering, to relieve their suffering and bring them joy. Our wisdom is initiated by doing charity work. Only by witnessing suffering can we understand suffering or the reality of life and existence. Here they put as understand the truth of life, which is also the same. Then the question arises when we reflect and contemplate. Where did we come from? What is the purpose of our coming to the human realm? Where will we go in the future? Only then can we mindfully generate the Dhamma and realize its principle. This particular sentence is very meaningful and very powerful. The question of birth and death, seldom people inquire, contemplate and reflect. Who am I? What am I? And where did we come from? What is the purpose of our coming to our this human right? Then where will we go in the future? If you reflect and contemplate, then you can, like what the author said, through this reflection and contemplation, you can mindfully penetrate the Dhamma and realize its principles, which is very true. The Dhamma is the teaching as taught by the Buddha. And the teaching of the Buddha is very simple. It summarizes to us all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. So when you understand life, you understand what is your purpose, then you will know very likely where did you come from. Then when you are in this human life, what are your duties? What are the things that you need to do so that you can have a good life in the future? Then where did you come from means in the past, if you have cultivated the Dhamma way or accumulated merits, wisdom and virtue, then you will have the good life when you are here. So the Dhamma is a very powerful way of transforming people's life. So if you want to change your life for the better, if you want to improve your life so that you can have good future life, you need to cultivate according to the Dhamma way. So after understanding the beauty of the teaching, means the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma, then we will be very careful about life. We will determine to take care of karma, because our life, like the Buddha said, almost entirely depend on karma. According to the Buddha, the five daily contemplation, the last one, he said, all of us, all living beings, not only human beings, non-humans too, even animals and others, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in our life, what must we do? We have to take care of karma. And how do we take care of karma? We need to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to do good, to purify our mind. That's how the teaching comes about. So when you have this understanding, it means you penetrate the Dhamma and realize its beautiful principles, and you will know what you need to do from now onward. That's why relieving suffering, witnessing suffering, is one of the ways to reflect on life, to contemplate on life, and to count our own good blessing for having the good life now because of our good past karma. But for those who didn't have the good karmic inheritance, they suffer so much that when you witness their suffering, you really develop the gratitude, count your own blessing, then you have love for them, you have compassion for them, and you really, out of love and compassion, will help them, because they are in this situation due to their own ignorance. So you need to educate them, bring them to the Dhamma, bring them to the understanding, so that in future they don't have to go through all this misery, suffering, and unnecessary mental issues. So relieving suffering and bringing them joy is a good way to help them. Then when they have faith in you, they will listen to you. Then they will have gratitude towards you too for what you have done for them. So all this understanding is a very good synergy. Then when we witness all this and see all this suffering, then we really, really will have a lot of contentment in life, a lot of gratitude towards our good karma. Then we will really cherish life. Then we will really have a lot of what they call understanding towards life, so that we count our good blessing for having this Dhamma understanding, for having the condition to have the Dhamma life after life, so that every time we come, even when we have to come or choose to come, we will have this understanding of the Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching, to help us to actually develop the understanding of life and have the causes and condition to actually be a blessing to all. So these are beautiful condition and principles. Okay, we'll go on then we can develop further understanding. According to the author, the Buddha explained the truth of life or the reality of life as suffering, the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the path that leads to the cessation of suffering. Basically, The Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Then she said, only when we interact with those people who suffer and experience suffering, human suffering, can we take the principle to heart. Therefore, we must realize our own blessing when we witness their suffering. This is very true. You should count your own blessing for having such good karmic condition so that you don't have to face such calamity, such nature's disaster, or such misfortune. So all this you will start to understand. Then she go on and add very beautifully. He said, as we follow the footprint of the global Tsuji volunteers, whether those who give long-term care to the poor and the sick, or those who provide emergency disaster relief, we are all witnessing suffering. Only after we witness that suffering do we understand that suffering and blessing are the result of causes and conditions coming together. This is very important. They are the result of causes and conditions coming together. Whether you suffer or it's a blessing you didn't suffer, depend on your karma, the causes and conditions behind. When we see suffering beings, compassion arises in our heart. When we help those who suffer out of love and compassion, that is the cessation of suffering. Those who have the ability to provide relief supplies are filled with Dhamma joy when they help others. And those being helped are happy to be free of suffering. This is the synergy. This is the way. This is the path to the cessation of suffering. So these are very good understanding. Eh? We move on. Therefore, the Tsuji Dhamma path first requires each volunteer to understand suffering. That's like the first turning of the Four Noble Truths. Especially the first Noble Truth, the Buddha said, this Noble Truth of dukkha or suffering is to be understood. So Tsuji Dhamma path is the same. The first requirement for each volunteer is to understand suffering. Then it encourages everyone to create blessing together. That's why you need blessing to avoid suffering, to have the good life, to have the good condition. Then she gave an example. She said, for example, Ta'ai TV in Indonesia once reported a story about an old school in a remote area by a river. The student living on the other side of the river must swim across it every day to attend school. Once ashore, they take off their wet clothes and put on their school uniforms as soon as they arrive to school. They immediately clean the classroom to keep their learning environment tidy. A reporter asked the student, why do you go through so much trouble every day crossing the river to attend school? The student replied, education is the only way to get out of poverty. Even though the commute to school may be rough and require crossing a river, but their aspiration to be educated was not impeded because they see the importance of education. Like they were told, education is the only way to get out of the poverty cycle, to make a difference to your life, to your family's life. So, even as a young child, I remember when I was very young in the early 50s and 60s, I used to hear my parents telling us the only way out of suffering and to bring honor to the family is to have a child who can study very well and excel in life. He will bring honor to the family. He will bring joy to the family, and he can bring the whole family out of the poverty cycle. And we have witnessed many of these, especially the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, where most migrants, when they come with nothing, very basic, maybe a singlet and a pen, like my parents' generation. Even Lim Kho Tong was the same. But from there, they build up their life, their career, through what? Through hard work, through determination. Like my father, he knew education was important. The first two priorities he set in life was to make sure all his children are educated. And he said, he told us, your duty is to study. My duty is to support you. Means he earn the money and make sure we have proper good education. And the other important thing that he realizes, you need to take care of the very basic important issues of life. Right? The danger of not being a citizen. That's why the first thing he did was when he came over, he is willing to go all out to help the children get their documents, birth certificate, IC, even before Merdeka, like my case, the citizenship. So all these are the real honorable duties of parents who sees the importance in certain thing in life and make sure this understanding is imparted to the children. Yeah. So education being a means to actually come out of the poverty cycle is very true. That's why you need education to really progress, to excel. And even now all over the world, people start to see, especially China, as a country with such big population. Without education, China were very backward in the early days. Then later on, with the improvement in the economic status and activity, the correct emphasis of the present day government bring forth a lot of importance to educate the young, the people, and also to bring out the rural population, eradication of poverty. They had very good program and they did it with such speed. Early on, they was trying to reach the hinterland of all these poor remote region because of infrastructure limitation and capital cost to build all those infrastructure. But now China have the mind and the means because of AI, e-commerce, their new earned wealth. The government have the resources to expand into remote region. They build fantastic high-speed rail, highways, modernization of agriculture, and industrialization, and many things. So all this are made possible. That's why eradication of poverty has really reached a very high level of success in China. The latest report, I think they already eradicated 96% of poverty. Left with just a bit more to go, 3%. And for such a vast country with such remote region and altitude, it is not easy for the country to do it. The government must be sincere and good. That's why all this become possible. So Cixi have this understanding too. That's why wherever they go, if they can help to build education and school, they will do it. Yeah. Okay, we go on with the sharing of the notes. Huh? seeing their plight. 自己 volunteer in Indonesia could not bear it. They raised funds to build a suspension bridge so that the student could have a safe passage to the school. That's how they did it. Then there's another example. They say another example is from Gansu and Guizhou. Yeah, this Guizhou, we were there before, I think. Kayamita, we had a spiritual trip to Guizhou about 2 years ago in China. The road to school there is also long and treacherous. Some students even have to walk more than 10 miles each way. They leave home before dawn, hungry and cold, and their daily necessities are scarce. When Ta'ai TV reporters visited the school, they saw elementary students writing with pencil less than half an inch long. They felt so sorry that when they returned to Taiwan, they started the half-inch pencil initiative to raise funds. They called on students to donate their extra pencil and pencil cases and send messages of blessing to encourage their peers in Gansu and Guizhou. This initiative was very well received. Overall, more than 10,000 pencils and pencil cases were donated. Mass media is able to spread such story. They allow everyone to see the suffering in the world so that people will realize how blessed their life is. Those who appreciate their blessing will cherish them and create more blessing. That's why you must have contentment. You must count your own blessing. Then only can you have the good life, the joy. Otherwise, you are always chasing, wanting more and more, unending craving. When you have contentment, when you count your own blessing, you have joy. Then whatever little good blessing you appreciate, because the big difference is you don't have to suffer. That is a great blessing to you compared to those who have to go through all those suffering and misery. You are already very fortunate. That's why a lot of human beings, they complain, they still complain about life despite what they have. Actually, compared to the poor, to the affected people, that are under the karmic influence of nature's calamity or misfortune, they already consider very blessed, especially people who still have their basic senses, limbs intact. They are not OKU people. Means defect. Their senses are all in order. Then 3 meals, no problem. And yet they complain. And yet they are so unhappy about life, so unsatisfied about life. The lack of contentment, the lack of understanding, bring forth all this suffering, unnecessary suffering. For people who have gone through suffering, whatever better condition or relief that they receive, they really have a lot of gratitude. They really have the joy. You see them having the food, the shelter, which they never get to have. Then the relief, volunteers from Tsuchi and all the other helpers coming all their way to help them. They really have gratitude and joy. And deep inside their heart, they really thank everybody profusely. And their gratitude will grow. And such people will be easily contented and have a lot of joy and happiness. And they're willing to work hard. They are willing to actually help the world in the future. where they have gone through suffering, they have witnessed suffering, they have seen how people help them and relieve them from suffering. So all these are good synergy and story for those who really wants to be part of this network to help people. When you witness suffering, you understand suffering, then you appreciate suffering, you have gratitude, you have contentment, then you count your own blessing. And these are the mind state that can give rise to a lot of joy, a lot of understanding, love and compassion. And when you start to do, you accumulate merits and wholesomeness, because whatever work you do, it can bring forth relief of suffering. That is very wholesome karmic action. And that is very meritorious, because it will create the causes and condition for people to help you in future should your karma be such that you have to confront them. Yeah. So whatever you do, come back to you. Do good, we get good. Do evil, we get evil. So you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. So all these are very important understandings. So when you understand, you penetrate the Dhamma. As you penetrate the Dhamma, you do it with joy, you do it with understanding, and you are very happy doing it, because there is condition for you to do, to understand and experience such good work is a blessing. Not many people have the condition. So for you to really understand all this and see all this, you should count your own blessing. Then when you are free, drop by to see, try to see how they do their work, their activity. Otherwise, you can start off by going to their Jingshi Xuan, their book library place, where you can actually pick up some of the books and even some of the things that they sell or market. Then they serve very good tea, and sometimes there is some snack or what. Then you can inquire more about their activity and find out more if you have the condition. Then I think a lot of Hokkayamita are also involved, especially Christina, Yun Chan, and many others. You can find out. So all these are very wholesome. Okay, we will read on. Then hopefully we can develop more and more understanding and sharing. Then the author continues, he said, how can people realize how blessed they are if they do not understand suffering in the world? This is very true, isn't it? You can never realize how blessed you are unless you can witness all this suffering and understand all this suffering in the world. If he had never cared for others, how can he open up his heart? In the Saha world, there is suffering as well as joy, because there are people who suffer. Bodhisattvas are needed to help these people. For this reason, we must make vow to come for the living being, to help and transform suffering beings in the human realm, and help them reflect on themselves, lest they forgot the world and lost their direction. If we are all prudent, cautious, and earnest, if we avoid error and wrongdoings, and if we do good deeds all the time, then we will be able to purify the world. This is very true. Purify to improving your own consciousness. Well, when the individual change, the sum of the total change. Because the world's consciousness or our planetary consciousness is the summation of all the consciousness. So if we start to avoid all evil, do good deeds all the time, then we help to purify the world, our planet, We were radiate and send out good positive vibration. Our consciousness will be very wholesome, very pure, very meritorious, free of the evils of greed, hatred and delusion. It means you have the Dhamma, you have right view, you have right understanding, and you know how to live life according to Dhamma way, following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, meritorious action, and purify our mind through meditation, through cultivation of sati or mindfulness leading to heedfulness. So all these are very beautiful Dhamma principles. When you understand, means you penetrated the Dhamma. You understand how to make use of this Dhamma to improve your life and to improve others' life. So Dhamma is very useful in this sense. Understanding Dhamma paved the way for transformation of life, not only your own. When people see you change for the better, people will be curious and want to find out more. That's how the Chichi Path and all those wholesome organizations come about. From one great master, they started teaching. Then they have more and more sincere followers who sees the principle behind that is so beautiful and so effective. Then they start to have faith and they will come and help. Then with one, it become more and more until today. Chichi has become a global organization with millions of volunteers and followers. And they are doing a great job in the world. Of course, we cannot deny there are many other organizations who are also helping out and doing all this, but you have to be careful. We are not all are genuine. Some may have their own agenda and other things, but generally those who are really sincere, they are very sincere. Especially I have witnessed and saw some of this great Buddhist tradition. Like I mentioned last time, even Fo Quang San also, they do play their role, Buddhist education and various aspects. Then you have Zhong Tai Chan Si, and also many other temples, even Fa Ku San, and even in Malaysia. There are many way places that have the condition to help people, various organizations. In a smaller scale, maybe we have our SJBA, Sukhumjaya Buddhist Association, and Central Brickfield, and even many of these newly formed Buddhist centers. In fact, Nalanda is also coming up. Then there are many, the Mahayana side. So you will start to witness more and more of all this. But be mindful, be tactful, do not be gullible. Find out for yourself what they are doing. That way you are very sure you can really contribute and help. Even with as a small organization run by a couple, Eric and Billy, they did a good job, really. They help every year collect a lot of funds to support many monasteries. Some are very poor, very remote, all over the world. Then every year they collect some funds, help print books, Dhamma books, for free distribution. And they also help out in their annual Katina celebration and budget for whatever activity they do, all these Buddhist temples and organizations. So these are all very wholesome activities. Then I believe many of our Buddhist group also they are doing their part, although in a smaller way. Some may be quite big. I think BJF also doing it. Many. There are a lot of new Buddhist centers now. Okay, we continue. Oh, we finished that chapter. Very good. So we will go to the next chapter. Next chapter is appreciate, cherish, and cultivate blessing. Oh, this is also very good. Good. So the title is very apt, very relevant. You must learn to have appreciation. When you appreciate life, you will have good life. When you appreciate your good blessing, you will have good life. When you can appreciate what your spouse, what your parents, what your brothers and sisters, friends, colleagues, and neighbor has done for you, it is a great blessing. That's why appreciation is very important. Contentment, appreciation, able to cherish what you have or whatever that people has done for you. You must cherish, appreciate, and cultivate blessings. All these are very essential for the cultivation of the Dhamma way. In order to realize blessing by witnessing suffering, we must motivate ourselves and utilize our abilities to benefit others while we are still healthy. This is very true. Those who are proactively cultivating blessings are truly blessed. What does cultivating blessing mean? Blessing cannot be obtained through prayers. Very true. They must come from one's own action or doing. When a person has love in his heart and takes action to help relieve suffering, other suffering, and bring them joy, he is benefiting others and creating blessing. Suji volunteers are like this. They lovingly take care of seniors who live alone. They bathe them, give them haircut, and tidy their living place or space. For those who are bedridden, Suji volunteers provide treatment and medicine depending on their individual needs. More importantly, they care for the senior on a regular basis, giving them emotional comfort and alleviating their physical pain. This type of job are very suitable for people who have parents and grandparents who have gone through this. Then when they release, they receive support from people who came and helped them, like Suji and other things, then they will appreciate their sibling, their children. They will play their role. They will be willing to help other people's parents or abandoned parents who live alone. So when they do this regularly and they give them emotional comfort, that will help to alleviate a lot of their physical and mental pain. Suji volunteers encourage healthy seniors to be social workers, to contribute either by doing recycling work or volunteering to share their life story. And this one is very beautiful, especially those who can still help out in certain way to do recycling. Recycling doesn't need much help and strength. You can just sit down there and sort out things and help to actually do the recycling. I have seen many old people, volunteers, and it's a healthy way of keeping yourself active and healthy. And when I was young, I like to help people to do whatever. Sometimes saw their firewood or in whatever manner that can bring about the volunteer work. Sometimes it's like gotong royong or whatever. My nature is such I like to participate. I like to help out. Then sometimes like help clean up certain places, schools, certain compounds, houses and all those things. Then even cleaning up temples and all those things. We used to do when I was young. Then there are many other ways where we can actually allow the seniors to contribute. Recycling is one of the good ways. Then sharing of their life story is also very meaningful. Then we will start to appreciate life more, appreciate our good blessing, cherish our good blessing. Then we will also count our good blessing, because compared to all this sad story, we are considered very blessed. We are considered very lucky. Suzy volunteer aim to bring happiness to every corner of the world and help all beings eliminate their suffering. They create blessings with loving kindness and relieve suffering with compassion. Compassion automatically arises from their heart, and they quickly put it into action. At the same time, they continuously spread the seed of blessings. So this is very beautiful. We should purify people's lives with sincerity. After we have contributed, we should share our experience and feeling with others, so that more people will know that it is not enough to just be moved. We must also take action. Sometimes just verbal encouragement is not enough. We should inspire love in others, so we can all contribute to society together. As a result, society will be filled with love and harmony. So this is a caring society, like SJBA. They want to be a caring Buddhist center, sharing and caring. Actually, I think it's one of their, you call it one, motto or what. They have this mission statement, in their mission statement, one of their mission statements, to create a caring and sharing Buddhist community. When Suzy volunteers speak good words, thinks good thoughts, and do good deeds, they are cultivating blessing. True, yeah, this is noble eightfold path. Right speech, right action, and right thoughts. With continuous and diligent cultivation, we are creating blessing for ourselves. This one is very true. With continuous and diligent cultivation, you can do these three things, means cultivating noble eightfold path. From right view, you develop the understanding of right thought, then you put it into practice. The right effort to arise the right thought that are still not in you. Then the right speech. Right speech are gentle, pleasant, appropriate, good speeches that brings about harmony, love, joy, motivation, encouragement, and understanding. Then also action that are without the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. Pure action, kind and generous action, like generosity, kindness, love, compassion. So you act with understanding, act with virtue, Act with generosity. Act with love and compassion. All these are very wholesome right action. So cultivating noble eightfold path is to bring forth the understanding to release suffering. So if we can communicate this way, if we can act this way, if we can arise this style of wholesome thought, then we purify the world, we purify the society that we are in, then we can actually bring forth a lot of harmony and wholesomeness. So from little things, like relieving suffering and witnessing suffering, we can spin off a lot of Dhamma work, Dhamma activity that are very wholesome, very meaningful and very beautiful. So this part I think is very important. I read again. With continuous and diligent cultivation, we can create blessings for ourselves. We should not only create blessings for ourselves, but also wish others well at all times. If we constantly bickle with people, even if we possess much, we will still be unsatisfied, and our mind will not be calm. We should eradicate our desire. Let the light in our heart ignite and gratefully help others. Those who can experience other people's happiness and blessing as their own are truly blessed. So this is very true. Right? So you must not be like petty or stingy. Actually, all this pettiness, stinginess, and the habitual tendency of being calculative, they are all negative tendency errors. If you have the Dhamma, you will root out all this, because the Dhamma means understanding. When we understanding, why must we do that? If it's not ours, we will not try to have them. Then if we can afford, if we have the means, why not let people have it? Especially when we have the understanding already, whatever that you can help resolve to something that you have the means, like if money can help resolve certain things, then you have the means, you should do it. So that you can have that type of happiness. The Buddha talked about the four types of happiness that lay people or living beings can have is very useful, very meaningful. The first one is that if we can, through our own hard work and sincerity and honesty, earn a righteous living, then when we receive that income or the wages that is being paid to us, or the reward that we receive through our hard work, the service that we did for others, there is a type of joy, happiness of possession. You earn your own possession, your own wealth through legal means, through proper legitimate means, not through crooked means and all those things. So there is a first type of joy. Then the Buddha said, when you are able to make use of this wealth or possession for your own happiness and the happiness of others or your loved one, that is the second type of joy. Able to help your loved one, your parents, your children, your spouse, your neighbor, your relative. So the happiness of possession leading to the joy or happiness or able to use this wealth and possession for your own happiness and loved one's happiness. That is the second joy. Then the third one is to be debt free, to be free from debt, so that You don't have to actually carry the burden of owing people money, yeah? Or what I want you to understand is don't be confused by our mortgage loan, our housing loan and all those things, or car loan. Please, don't go and quote me as Abraham Teo say, free from debt is one of the happiness and joy and blessing. It's true, but what we are referring it to is the type of loan or debt that you carry with the loan shark and all those things, Tai Long. You borrow from loan shark and you can pay off and free yourself from all those things, or those high interest type of loan, you better pay it off. But legitimate bank loan and also car loan, you should actually make use of it where they are legitimate and fair, and they can help you to own houses and car, because you only have to pay installment or mortgage repayment. And this mortgage repayment, over time, due to inflation, the amount become less and less. The quantum is the same, but due to inflation, present value is very low. Like you borrow a housing loan 25 years. 25 years later, after 10 years, the loan amount usually is much easier to manage, because future money, the same amount of future money is not much. Well, by then you will have your savings, your salary increase, your better financial situation. So all this is useful. I realized most of my loan I prepaid early, because after 10 years or so, I find that I have the means, then I will just pay them off. But certain type of purchase, I like to borrow some form of loan, like car and property. Because when you take loan, the banks that finance you, they will do the check for you. Make sure everything is proper, title, everything. So let them earn some of the loan interest, which are very reasonable. Slightly more than the fixed deposit rate that they give it to normal saving account and FD account. But it's worth it because they will do all the security check for you. Otherwise, when you get yourself into trouble, you can be scammed or deceived. Then you stand to lose more. So these are some of the understanding. Then the last one is, live a blameless life. This is the part I want to share with you. If you have the means, the Buddha say, you must learn how to live a blameless life so that the wise one will not blame you. It means like just now what I share. If you are already successful, have the means, whatever that can help you resolve a situation or problem with money that you can afford, then you should try your very best. Don't be petty, understand? Don't still argue with people. Hey, I'm right, you are wrong. Your fault, you should pay for it. Like I used to share the example. Sometimes you see students or the poor guy who ride a bicycle or motorbike, then through certain maybe mishap or negligent, they end up having an accident. Then maybe you are the driver. It may damage your car. But to them, to pay for your car damage is beyond their means. It's very expensive. But if you have the means, you should do your part. I have done it before. Your people helped me before when I was a uni student. So later on, there were a few occasions, I just tell them, don't worry. You just go, as long as you are not hurt, you go. Then sometimes you need to repair the motorbike or what, I say, okay, I will pay you 100 or 200 ringgit. Yeah, you go and do the touch up and repair. They were so happy because they know it's their fault, and yet I've been so kind, I still tell them, don't worry. So these are the things we can do, live a blameless life, so that people will not blame you, so that you can help people who are less fortunate, less capable, to actually have a good life. Otherwise, when you become very petty or very calculative, even though you can afford and you are wealthy, you still want to make life difficult for people. That one also will have its karmic implication. So these are all the important understanding that you must have. So try to remember the four types of happiness that you can have. So when you already develop your success or means to have a good and comfortable life, financial freedom and all those things, then reflect on the Dhamma, reflect on this type, four type of happiness, and do what you can. Especially the first two. The first one you already have, because financial freedom you have gained it, happiness of possession. And number two, you must do. Make use of this wealth for the good of the many and yourself. But that one you must do. You can help out in whatever way, or provide for your family and those with affinity, and help those who you can help. So these are very wholesome actions or conditions that you can plant or cultivate. Then this will grow with your karmic nature. So these are the beauty of understanding the Buddha Dharma and able to apply it in real life, Dharma in daily life. So this sharing today, I think, is also useful and important. So I read the title again. Appreciate, cherish, and cultivate blessing. Then the earlier one is witnessing suffering. Then relief suffering. All these are very wholesome way of learning the Dhamma, putting the Dhamma into practice or cultivation, Dhamma in daily life. And it will help you penetrate the Dhamma, develop more and more understanding. Okay, good. 4:02, just nice. We can have our meditation after this. After this, we can have 45 minutes of silent awareness meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come on the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then maintain daily mindfulness, whatever you do away. Initially, you can return your awareness to your heart area, away from there, outside, away. Then when your heart area open, you can actually anchor your awareness there. There is a heartbeat or a pulse where you can anchor it there. We can now continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting.
Hello, Brazil.
Amitofo.
I like to share my meditation.
Good. Okay.
This meditation is kind of how should I say, something that's always different, I know.
Yeah. It's always different. It will transform and it will become very different. And everyone is also different. But basic processes is the same. The understanding, the transformation, the basic is the same. But how it happens, everyone is different. You are right. You can share.
Yeah. Even for myself, it's like also different, you know, all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, you know that something happened, you know, your form and mind kind of like aware that in your meditation, something has transformed, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you will know. Yeah. Very yes. good. Sadhu. Yes.
Yes, sadhu. Yeah,
you will have the ability to know. Yes.
This meditation was like, how should I put it? Yes, because for me now, usually it goes to the heart, and then it settles down at the heart area.
Very
and
good.
Then, you know, you can have the tactile sensation of the heart. And then after that, this time again, it disappear, no? It disappear.
Never mind. Let it disappear. Then stay there.
Yes, we stay with it, just aware, just stillness, very, very still.
Yeah.
But you know it's very still.
Yeah.
You know, your form and mind knows it.
Yes.
And then towards the end, right, actually this one, you cannot control.
Yeah, you
can. Cannot like say, oh, I can come out the meditation anytime you want. No, you cannot want.
Yes.
You cannot control one, no?
Yes.
You cannot have a say when you can get up from the meditation.
Cannot, yes.
You cannot. It is by itself, the nature, yes. The awareness.
Yes.
It do by itself, like, that's what I'm saying. It do by itself.
Trust. And it's trust. It will do by itself, that it will move.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it's the trust that it will do by itself. You are just observing, aware of it. That's it.
Right. Yes.
And then towards the end, right, when you sort of know it, when towards the end, the part is very interesting. You have this sensation that will awaken you, you know.
Correct.
Will awaken you, arise and sustain, and sadhu. After that, it disappear, vanish, you know.
Sadhu.
Yeah, then you know that, oh, you have finished your meditation by trust, you know.
Yes. The nature know. Then you can slowly come out.
Yeah, the nature do by itself.
Yes.
Control by itself.
Yes.
You just aware, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's
right.
just
very good.
Stillness inside.
Yes.
Stillness inside, like you always will say, pure awareness, oneness nature, you know.
Correct. Then it will keep on transforming, because sometimes the tingling sensation or whatever, it will happen. Like the tactile sensation, it will happen. Then it will move. Then it will cause other things to move. Then there are many transformations. You will develop the understanding on your own. That's why many movements will happen. But it's all naturally happening on its own.
Yes, correct. It happened by its own.
You didn't interfere. You didn't
no interference on your part whatsoever. You just aware that it's going on.
Let it do. Just let it do.
Then even this tactile sensation, it's also different all the time, you know. Time is this, one time is that, another time is the, like in this case, this one is like the whole body, from your whole body, you know, the tactile sensation everywhere. Very interesting. It's different.
Very interesting. There's sometimes it's like playing a harmonic, it moves.
Yes.
When you allow it to continue to learn and learn, it becomes very different, very powerful. Then you see that one itself will trigger phenomena, like it becomes gaseous. Then you will know gas come up.
Yes.
And all those things, then the movement, it will do itself.
Yes.
You will know that which are the tactile movement that you need to move. It will like activate for you. Then you feel very good after that. After that, you feel like you have recuperated. Then you become like very healthy. Very healthy.
Yes.
Very good.
So it's like very interesting. I find it very interesting. It all happened by itself. Very natural. And you have no control over it. Like, you know, it's just the observer, that's it, you know.
Trust is the nature doing. You don't have
control. Yes.
Don't need to control. You no need to know anything. No interference from the thought. That's why there is no thought-based doing in meditation. It's just awareness that is aware. And that one is wisdom energy. That one can understand many things. And as it transforms, it will move the internal movement. And this internal movement, very few people can do, unless you have that mindfulness and awareness so stable that you have developed. Normal people cannot reach that because they are maya active. They are maya active. Their nature, their awareness, nature, they haven't even stabilized it. That's why they cannot do that type of meditation. This is true awareness-based meditation going into the fourth support, which is trust. Just trust and let that nature do. It will just move and do a lot. Sometimes the tingling sensation can be so intense, but it's natural. You just let it be. Intense in the sense that it is like very, very tingling, that type of sensation, like it makes you tingle, it makes you feel very good, and you know what is going on. The awareness is there. Then sometimes it becomes so subtle, like you say, you cannot decide when to come out or not to come out. Then sometimes you go into the cessation, you may not be aware also, because after you come out only, you realize what the thing is. But there will be a period where completely also the pure awareness also gone. That is the real cessation, Nibbana. It will happen. Then later on, you will know. Know also like that, don't know also like that. No need to know. You just let things be. Then the cessation can come. Then contemplate more on Sankara Anicang, Sankara Dukkang, Dhamma Anatta. Sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Means no reality. Everything is just like that. Then this mind will slowly, slowly develop the stability of wisdom to let nature take its course. Then when nature takes its course, then when the wisdom is stable enough, the cessation will happen. When the cessation happens, you will go into a state where all the pure awareness also cease. Then it is the unconditioned. Then during that time, you will be able to observe many things later on. Your brain there, all the activity all stop. Stop. Everything stop. Like the brain is not moving at all. Otherwise, the brain is very active. With the memory, everything is very active. But the brain, like a dynamo, it will slow down and stop. But doesn't mean the dynamo doesn't move. The dynamo is still the dynamo, but it didn't die. There is still warm. Then later on, heartbeat also don't have. Then the unconditioned, complete cessation, it will happen. So initially when it happens, because this is new to you, you may not know. Because there is no more knowing, no more awareness, no more consciousness, nothing. Everything ceases. That is the real realization of Nibbana. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let it go. And like you say, you got no control when to come out. It will come out on its own. Because your five aggregate of form and mind is still there. So later on, when you are doing it for quite a while, you will become very skillful. Then you will know. When the cessation is about to happen, you will know. Then when it happens, let it be. Then everything still, the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it at all. When the pure awareness also no more, only that nature, which is the Buddha called it the realization of the unconditioned. He called it Nibbana, means everything ceases. The cessation of form and mind. That is the third noble truth. This cessation is to be realized. When you realize it, after that you come out, you will have a lot of different understanding of what this form of mind is. You will understand many, many things after that. Then the nature keep on understanding things by itself. Then whatever you come to experience is part of the cultivation, part of the way. Then everything you experience in life become Dhamma to you. And during that phase, very beautiful, very beautiful. Sadhu to you, Pocheng, Sadhu, rejoice. Anything else?
Sadhu.
Yeah,
so it was like a bit different from the usual as well.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
very usual.
yeah then then another after that, right? Then I have another experience of meditation, right? Then I was doing meditation and relaxing. As soon as I relax into it, right?
Yeah.
The shift of consciousness happened.
Very fast.
Yeah, very fast. And then this one is also different. The how should I say? Yeah, you can see how can I, you can experience that the spotlight, you know, like a spotlight suddenly shine on the heart.
Yeah.
And then the heart beat, yes.
Like,
yeah,
like
yes. The it's like so clear, like you're on the stage. There's a spotlight showing,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Showing and yeah. Magnified, and then slow down for you to see as
right.
Well, you know.
Yes.
So it's also like another different experience, you
correct.
Know.
Yes, yeah. You go through all this because
yeah.
When that nature is so quiet and so still, that nature can understand everything. It's like when you have a very powerful microscope, it can magnify it so many times. That's why the power of mindfulness is that that nature, which is awareness, is way beyond the norm. It can understand a lot of things. And that vibration is your energy, wisdom energy. And that one can penetrate anything. Very beautiful.
Yes, it's very different experience each time
yeah.
In a meditation.
Correct.
It has more and more clarity of things
yeah.
That but somehow you I didn't really like intend to see this or that, but it's just show, you know.
By itself, yes.
Yeah, by itself, no.
Then
yeah,
later on, you will start to develop the clear understanding of all this. So all this is for you to develop understanding and wisdom. And that is the power of mindfulness. That's why stability of mindfulness leading to that realization of LBD. The awareness is very different. It's not the normal thought of our mind. It's not the material. Is the awareness. That is the missing link. Scientists cannot discover that because they cannot realize through the meditation. That's why they cannot experiment with it, cannot do the investigation, cannot develop the understanding of that new energy, which we call it the pure wisdom energy, which the universe has. And this one actually is way beyond the thought process. That's why it's not limited by the speed of light and all those things. Awareness can go beyond the speed of light, and it can be with the oneness and all those things. It can be with the whole nature. Then when it sees, it's the unconditioned. It's way beyond what scientists can comprehend with the thought process. And this one is really, really beyond the thought. That nature, the awareness nature. And this field of study can only be explored by the true meditator, cultivator, who can really go deep enough into all this to understand all this. That's why that nature is very beautiful. And you can learn to use it, play with it, and experiment with it. And you will unfold a lot of new things. That's why the understanding is unending. There are so many things to eat. And that trust, that nature, that do on its own is so different from the normal meditation. Very good. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu. Thank you, Rantio, for your teaching.
Yeah.
It's a very amazing in the sense that you discover new things and experience the different things with the nature.
Yes. And on, you will come to understand many more things that is way beyond. Book also never write on. People don't understand. Only copy.
These are the things that is not written in the books. And
never written anywhere. You cannot find.
You can experience it and Brother Teo can explain it in detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very nice.
Yeah, because you need that stability. Because my nature is already 31 years after it has transformed. That's why it has gone through a lot of things. That's why I used to tell Kayamita, not until you all, somebody can do until that stage, I cannot explain or share, because when I share and I explain, it's like no meaning to them, but they haven't experienced it. But for those who have done it, then I can share. Then I can explain many of these things so that you all actually cut short your training. That's why the sasana makes a big difference. This sasana is very different. Now the consciousness has evolved until it's very beautiful. There's a lot of things can happen. And for it to happen to you is very amazing. My nature rejoices. Pocheng sadhu. Very good. Sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you, Ratio. My gratitude. And Amitofu to all Kayamita.
Yes.
And Ratio for your, amazing teaching, actually. Yes.
Sadhu.
And transform myself and Kayamita as well. Yes, thank you very much.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, Ratio. Good evening. Good afternoon, everyone. This time round, I actually off the camera. I mean, I off the off the video just now. Yeah, for my meditation reporting. But I just sit about 30 minutes just now. Because I have no idea where my feet keep on jerking, as in.
Because that is a very gross type of, we call it the tinkling sensation. That one is a very gross one. Later on, you will go into the very, very subtle and deep one. Your mind state is not that level yet. That's why your one is very gross. Gross means your body like jerk.
The right foot.
You try to relax. The relaxation cannot go in. You will jerk. It will trigger off all those things. That's why.
So I'm not relaxed enough. That means, is it?
Not deep enough. Yeah, you cannot do it. Your mind state is not at that level.
Okay.
That's why, but it's a big improvement already. At least you can feel that thing already.
Okay.
Something natural happening. Because when you are able to relax, a lot of other things will happen.
Okay.
Then the mind become very quiet, very still.
This time around, that's the only thing I think.
You more relaxed or not this time around?
I'm trying to get myself more relaxed in a way, because quite tired also the whole day. That's the thing.
Then are you sleepy when you are meditating?
Yeah, I'm quite sleepy actually, but
awareness that you need to sleep, you just sleep. Have a good sleep, deep sleep. Then relax. Always remember, relax. Then when you feel any tension or tightness or that you are not relaxed, relax into it. You know how to relax, isn't it? Like when you are very tired. Then you relax.
Now getting better. Nowadays, getting better and relaxing. Yeah. Usually very tense. Very tense.
When you can relax, you are more calm, actually. You are more composed. Then, from the way you look, you are much more calm than last time. Last time, you cannot. You think a lot. Now, I believe your thought is less. Because you're tired, you want to sleep, you just sleep. But more important is try to maintain awareness initially. Maintain. At that part, you can do it. You will continue to progress and improve. Maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Just let things be. Then let the mind settle down and become very quiet. Very still. Initially, it's less thinking. Then the shift of consciousness, like Pocheng said, it will happen. And the mind become very quiet. But for you, it will take a while. It will take a while. But it will happen.
Okay.
Hello, Brother Teo. Can you hear me?
Yeah, very clear. Yeah, good. Today,
the connection quite good.
Yeah.
I think after hearing Brother Ananda I also have some same kind of issue like him, because he said he's very tired.
Yeah.
So I find myself most of the time also like that. So like Brother Teo say, when our body is tired, we should go and rest, right?
Let it rest. Let it sleep. I need to sleep. Yeah. Have a good sleep.
So that's I do that. So I go and sleep. But it's just that after I sleep, there's not much time left for me to do my formal sitting. It's like the next morning, I have to begin my day again and start work again, you know. I mean, my daily routine, my life, I have to do all those daily chores. So I find that there's not much time for me to do my
day. No problem. Do daily mindfulness.
Yeah.
Then when you do the daily mindfulness, like now Suyan also know, when you are able to be mindful most of the time throughout the day, very easy to sit. You will go into that stillness or that silence very fast. Then, especially at night when you want to sleep, there is meditation. Maintain awareness, then sleep. There is meditation. Then as you develop the ability to maintain awareness, you will be able to meditate even when you are asleep. Sometimes you can do until the awareness remain aware until you wake up the next morning, like you never sleep. That is, of course, later, when you have stabilized all those things. Then you can, otherwise, not easy. Initially, you tend to doze off very fast. But if you can maintain even 5-10 minutes, it's good enough. Then later on, let it extend to about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, half an hour, then 1 hour. Enough. Then you sleep. So daily mindfulness is very important. Whatever you do, try to maintain awareness. Means aware. Everything aware. So that it will stop your habitual thinking. Your heedless habitual thinking. So whenever you aware, you don't think. So your hand movement, your activity of the kaya, then whatever you see, specific phenomena, flow with it. The awareness aware of that movement. That's it. Don't go and think and create thought. Then when you bow, pay respect to Triple Gem, do it mindfully. No need to know, just aware. Bedang yeni. Away. Then sometimes you want to try the bowing, you keep on bowing until the awareness arises. Then your form and mind will know what sati. That's why you have to do until very stable, until the mindfulness comes to you, until your mind enters sati. It's either through the formal meditation or the daily mindfulness, stabilize it. Okay? So, not a problem. Even you have work or what, no problem. Last time I was working as an engineer, I have a lot of work. It's a madhouse, they say. You put 10 engineers, also not enough. But I still do it. Because I determined to be aware that I was able to do it. Then I realized I become more efficient. Well, when I'm mindful, aware, I have more clarity, more understanding. And I do things very efficient, where there is clarity.
Yeah.
Okay, but you want to describe your meditation?
The daily mindfulness, right? So I did try to pay attention to what I do, but most of the time, because my work, I use thinking. So it's not like what Brother Teo say, movement of the body or the hand. It's like thinking. So, you know, so I...
Don't worry. When you think, when you need to work, you need to use your intellect, you use.
Yeah.
But in between, there will be other activities. Like you receive control. Your hand will let go. Then the hearing consciousness. Pick up that one. Be aware.
Okay.
Every time a phenomenon arises, be aware. And sometimes you have to write. Be aware. When you take your then when you move your hand to write, be aware. As you write, the thing will be flowing as normal, but your awareness is there.
Okay.
And when you want to go to the toilet, be aware of the tactile consciousness. Then as you move, you stand up from your chair, away. Then as you move, aware. Open your office door, you have a room, aware. Then reach the toilet, how you go in, or actually you answer nature's call, aware. But initially, you find it not easy, your thought moves very fast. Your thinking, habitual thinking, is very fast. And mm-hmm. you are too, like, habitually wants to think of many, many things. Actually, not important on all those things are heedless thinking. What is important is to have a clear mind, be aware, that when you need to reflect, contemplate, and understand, only you think. That should be the heedful way of living life. Then there are many things. Even when you drive your car, you go to your car, how you on your car, how your hand moves and open your car door, all the mindfulness. And how you put on your clothing and all those things, how you take your bath, how you change, and how you do your daily care. All this, no need to think. Just aware. Then when you need to walk, you walk. Then there are movement activity that you can connect in between. That's what I did. Okay? This one will help you.
Okay. But I did realize that when I am doing my daily mindfulness, right, I try to detect what are the things that make my mind unhappy and frustrated.
That one is not daily mindfulness already. That
one, it's not. Okay.
That one is trying to know. Because when you do daily mindfulness, you just aware. Finish. Then when you're aware until your mindfulness very stable, then only that understanding will come, the contemplative understanding. But your mindfulness can see already. Then only you can understand what is the reason for you to react and settle your mind and feel unhappy. Without that stability of mindfulness, you are using thought. You're waiting. So initially, don't try to know. When you are mindful, aware, keep on aware. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Maintain awareness, clarity of mind. Not until your mindfulness stabilizes, all these understandings cannot really arise. They are knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom. The wisdom born of direct seeing, mindfulness, and the silent mind is different. It's not through the thought process. It's not knowledge. It's an understanding that arrives where you saw it through the awareness, the direct seeing. The silent mind form, the movement, conditioned by what? Dependent originating, condition arising. To see that, you need stability of mindfulness. That's why the daily mindfulness is very important. Without that one, you cannot see, you cannot understand. Luckily, you are. This one will help you. Otherwise, you will be trapped there for quite long.
Yeah, correct. Luckily, yes.
Just do. Don't try to know. Always remember. Because the mindfulness is just aware. Finish. When it stabilizes, you will understand by itself. I always tell people, the wisdom will come by itself, the understanding. But it will never happen until your mind becomes very quiet, very still, and just aware. Until that daily mindfulness becomes very stable. And then you will start to understand things on your own. Like Po Cheng, you need to teach her that mindfulness can see and understand. And she knows how she get into all those the habitual tendency of the past that condition her in the misery. Then through the understanding, it cannot happen anymore. That wisdom liberates her mind and develops the understanding. Last time, all you cannot see. We don't even have the knowledge here at that time. Her Dhamma knowledge was very weak. But when she developed the mindfulness, no need Dhamma knowledge, she can see. Then whatever she reads, she understands. That is the real power of mindfulness. That's why you need to have mindfulness. Without that, you cannot develop the understanding and the progress. So always remember that, when you are, so just develop mindfulness. Don't try to know. Don't try to find out why you get angry, emotional, unhappy. What is the cause? That one is only knowledge at the moment. When you have the mindfulness, the understanding of this, and you will awaken, you will become very different.
Daddy, I have one more question. Sometimes when in the midst of life, when I'm interacting with another colleague, right?
Yes.
The colleague may say something that triggers some frustration in me. But then I cannot like step back and be mindful because I still need to use my mind to reply to the person. You know,
I will explain to you what actually happened to you.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the real wisdom, the unisop manasikara. Yours is all soap based, mainly still knowledge based. So that's why you think you aware, you are not aware. Your thought recall. Or your thought through memory recall that this guy has made you unhappy. But when that things occur and make you unhappy, if you are mindful and aware, the sensitivity at your heart area, you feel it, you sense it straight away. That is unisop manasikara. That it will prompt you, sankara anicang, sankara dukkang, that he is just the way he is. Then with that understanding, you cannot even get unhappy. But you go and think about it, then you plan how to not get angry and how to respond to it. All this is the problem. That's why you are doing it the wrong way. You are using knowledge to try to develop Dhamma understanding. That one is not the correct way. That way you will not end up developing the wisdom. Well, the wisdom is you must listen to Dhamma, reflect on them, they understand. Then the understanding stabilizes in your nature. The first turning, second turning stabilize. Then whenever you encounter situation or realize situation, then that thing becomes sensitive. It feel it, then it will prompt you. So it's very different. It's balik on. It's the other way around. That's why mindfulness first. You need the sensitivity of mind first to be able to sense it. But then only the unisop manasikara, initial wisdom, can come out and prompt you. That one, you need very stable wisdom. You need to understand through contemplation, reflection, silent mind. Then the best is when your mindfulness becomes very stable, it can see the direct seeing, the third turning, sutamaya panya leading to cintamaya panya, then finally bhavana maya panya. That one is very penetrating, very stable. So when you realize that time of wisdom, then you can deal with life, you can deal with situations in life. Otherwise, not easy. Well, lucky today you ask all these questions.
Yeah, correct. If not, I'd be like still doing it, but the, unconscious. Then you say that one is the way he is. You are right. Then I won't get angry anymore.
It doesn't prompt you from inside.
You are right.
So with that, you focus on stabilizing your daily mindfulness. Then don't give excuse that you are busy, your routine, you cannot meditate, you cannot silent. Forget about it. Life itself is a meditation because everything can be aware, mindful. Of course, you need to work that time, you need to solve your whatever work problem. You need to think, you think, that time you do. But later on, you can be aware of your all this intellectual movement and thinking and mental process. And there is clarity. I remember everything becomes very clear. Then your brain becomes very sensitive. Well, when you try to think too much, that sensitivity, the suffering inside there, you can feel it. It's stress. You need to relax. That's why I relax silent and I sit in the office. I silence my mind. Then sometimes I meditate. That's it, finish. Then sometimes I just silence everything and relax and let things be. Then it slows down again. Yeah. Then when the mind has clarity, I start to do it again. Then if I need to write down, I write down so that I no need to remember anything. Then when I need to solve any situation or problem, the understanding will help me solve. Yeah. That's why I become very efficient. Then I know how to actually think of solution. I will not get angry. I will not like become unhappy over certain issue or thing. No point. No amount of anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, and limitation can help you solve problem. Solving problem need wisdom, need understanding, need clarity of mind. So or you will develop the wisdom and you will know how to act. Then you will no longer have all those things. You just relax and be with it. Then after that, when you need to come out and solve problem, live life, live. No problem. With that understanding, with that clarity, you become more efficient. Then you can reflect, contemplate, the solution will come. Yeah. Then whatever that is beyond you, you go back to your boss and tell your boss, I only have 2 hours a day, which is priority. If this is priority, I do this. Otherwise, somebody else has to take over that one. I only have 8 hours. Well, after 5 o'clock, I need to go. I need to go. That is my life. No promotion, never mind. Because a lot of people don't understand when you are efficient, you are more productive. They should promote you. Because it's not to sell your life and your health. You are there to do your work. There is a contractual agreement. You just do your part. Develop the understanding. There is more to life than just working. Working is just a small part. And that is just to earn a salary, a living. But later on, when you understand, all this will become different. Your priority will be different. Then you will know how to say no to people who are reasonable. Then no need to argue with them. Just go and see them. This one you want me to do, I will do it my way. Because if you ask me to do it the other way, which is not ethical, I don't think it's right. If possible, you better get somebody else to do. If I do, I will do it my way. You have the right to stupidate all those things. That's what I did. I told my MD, I told my mom. I said, no. You want me to do this way, you better get somebody else to do. Well, this is against my conscience. This is not the right. For me, I will not do it this way. Then you are good, you are efficient, people will know. And people cannot, like, I use the word, bully you or take advantage of you. No, they can't. You know, when you understand, when you have clarity and you are very clear about things, you can actually put across your good reason and your point, and they will understand you. And sometimes, once in a while, you have to say, I need to go because today I need to attend my family matter. My parents, just tell them that and go. Don't be shy. Because it's true. Your parents are really old and they need you.
Yeah, you're right.
And you need to be at home with them more time. You need to do all those things. Don't allow the thought to make you miserable. All those things. It's the thought. No point. Be brave.
My new boss is okay. He actually said that I don't have to go to the office twice a week now. Just once a week, do half day. He's okay. He's not like the previous one.
So he has good karma.
It's quite good, yes.
Today your question is very good. Sadhu to you, and you can learn and other people can learn.
Yeah, thank you, brother. You're very helpful.
Very helpful, huh?
Yes, very helpful.
Yes, that's why you all must learn to ask questions. Then the sharing can become more meaningful.
Yeah.
Good. Sadhu to you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much,
Sadhu.
Good afternoon, Bratio.
Sadhu,
good afternoon to all Kagamita. Ratio.
Yeah.
Still developing my heedfulness. Oh. But not very successful with that recently.
Persevere. Remember, have faith, be sincere, persevere. Just do it. Yeah. It can be done. It can be done.
Yeah, I really believe that all this can be done, Bertil. Yes. Faith is not an issue anymore.
Yeah.
Because to me, there's no more doubt.
Yeah.
That I'm this is the way to go.
Yeah.
It's keeping to my mindfulness that especially when work is concerned, it sometimes overwhelms me.
Yeah.
And I get into the situation when I quarrel with people.
Because this is part of your type of job. You need to actually get things done. But you can avoid, you try to improve on it, because Noble Eightfold Path have different, very different approaches. You don't have to like sometimes argue or get angry. No need. You can reason with people through reasoning. Yeah.
He doesn't reason with. This is the kind of people where you say, he's just the way he is. But it comes to a situation where I can't take it because I was facing so much issue.
Can you
and then
the actual example, then I can help you to resolve it.
Okay. He came to the site in the morning.
Yeah.
And I told him, why are you here? I said, is the site is not ready for you to take measurement. And he says, oh, your boss asked me to come. They want the work to be done by the end of this month. So I don't say much. I let him take the measurement. Then on the way back to the office, he called me. PG, when will you be coming back to the office? I said, half an hour's time. I'm on the way. Okay. And then when I reached the office, he was sitting there. And then he started to raise his voice. He says, give me more info. I want this. I told him, I have no drawing. I have no revised drawing. I cannot give to you. He says, I want to start work now. I said, but I don't have any revised drawing. I don't care.
Wait,
you do it for me.
Before you continue, you wait. You listen. I need to ask you a question. Who is the project manager who is running the job there?
I am running the ID side. So that's why I have to answer.
No, the overall. Do you have a architect or somebody who is in charge of the whole thing?
Oh, you mean the SO?
The SO
architect. Yes, there is. But that's why, unfortunately, because of a few changes along the way, they cannot get the drawing out on time.
The drawing is from your office, correct or not?
No, the drawing is from the ID office. But we are also supposed to do shop drawing. So without the revised,
you are the contractor. Are you the contractor?
Yeah, we are the contractors.
Oh, you are the contractor. Then this guy is your subcon.
Yeah, my carpenter.
Your carpenter?
Your carpenter. Right, that's what I did.
No,
F word.
You listen. I deal with these people before. He is the carpenter. I asked him to come out with his schedule. And his schedule must follow your schedule. It's not up to him now.
No, Bratio, unfortunately, my boss override me and insist to be done by end of the month.
That is
the unfortunate case.
PJ, you listen. Your boss can say what he like and or not. Everything is urgent in construction site. We also know. But there is such thing as a critical path. Because if that critical path cannot be met, this schedule cannot be done. So it's as simple as that. So we are not trying to argue. We argue will not solve the problem. So you tell your boss in a very nice way. He said, okay. It has to be done end of the month. Okay. So now I identify already. This is the critical path. If we cannot get this done, this is the one that is going to overshoot or cost overrun or go beyond the deadline. So who is responsible for getting them to move so that the critical path can be shortened? So if this carpenter needs certain thing that can be done before the carpenter come in, then well and good. But if it cannot be done, then that guy who is supposed to get ready the site for the carpenter will have to think of something else as a solution. So you just focus on the work to be done. Then you will have less of this, what they call unnecessary misunderstanding and argument on site. Because all this thing happen is due to the lack of understanding. Everybody, when they get angry, in Hokkien, gong qi wei. When you get angry, you simply say thing one. You just want to argue your way through. Because everybody is under pressure. It's like a pressure cooker, understand? Everybody is already under that type of time schedule and all those things. And everybody want to protect their backside. My daughter want to add something.
You reminded me of one of my work situations also. Actually, when someone came and complained to me and said, because my things are not ready, that's why he cannot start, and he also is very urgent. So there was one time it actually clicked in my mind. I said, good, very good, you need, right? I also got trouble. It's like you say your drawing, is it? For me, it was something else. It's like, good, you come with me, you need this, and I need the drawing to give you this. Both of us go and talk to that person, then we tell our boss also along, then put the pressure at the right place, then that thing moves, all of us can move. Yeah. So that I'm very welcome to complain together.
That should be the solution, BJ, huh? Because sometimes he can be your partner, no? The carpenter can be your good partner, no? Like my daughter say, yeah, good. I think you have a valid problem, and let's together we go and sort it out. Then confront the fellow. If the fellow don't want to do anything, then get the boss to come in.
Radio, from what I see on the situation, according to my experience, the site is cannot hand over on time. But both of them, they want to do it.
No, so you identify the source of the problem first. Then don't blame anybody. Like my daughter.
Yeah, but they still insist that it can be done.
Yo, PG, they are people who don't have the Dhamma. They will talk like that. They will raise their voice and do all those things. Then everybody, like I said, is under pressure to deliver. And it is like a war zone in the construction site, which is common. But for me, I don't have such problem. Yeah? Every time, it's like war zone, very severe already. Yeah? They think my company is going to get into trouble already. Yeah? Until nobody dare to go for meeting. No? Then I went for meeting. No? I sort everything out. But I realized it was not our problem. Like you say, a lot of things cannot come out. Our problem, we can deliver. But the architect himself cannot deliver because his amendment drawing didn't come out. Then how
Precisely. Why didn't my company use this to push the thing backward? Why are we still trying to complete something that
identify the source of the problem and make it clear to your boss. Finish. Because for me, the client was there, the architect tried to play back. In the meeting, I show it. I say, you don't believe, you call your office. I have checked with your office. I have my black and white, which I sent. I say, we need all this for the steel bar drawing to be produced, because it was an amendment from the architect. But the architect office was busy and they couldn't produce it. So I have all those. That's why in a meeting, the architect threatened me, you know. He thought like all the other engineers, you new fellow, first day come to meeting, don't simply say thing, you don't know here or there and all those things. I say, I reply him in a very nice way. I say, thank you for your reminder. I say, but based on what I have checked, because I'm a person who understands the flow of things, then I'm very thorough, I say, and I'm very experienced, and I do this very often. So for me, it's very simple. If I don't have your architectural drawing, and this amendment everybody knows is recorded in the meeting, in the minutes, without your architectural amendment drawing, how can I come up with my structural drawing? It's very obvious. Oh, then he
I
got
see.
He got no choice. Then he like want to play poker with me. You know? He said, I'm going to call now, huh? You sure? You sure? I say, yes, very sure. Go ahead. Three times he repeat. And finally, he talked halfway. He excused himself. He go out. He said, let me sort this out. Then after that, he come back. Huh? He said, okay, Mr. Teo, let's resolve this separately. We don't discuss it in the meeting. Then we will continue. Where are we now? Then he continued. Then after that, he came out of the meeting. Or he looked for me. He said, Mr. Teo, next time we discuss this separately. Don't bring out in the meeting. So I look at him. I smile. I say, I didn't bring out. I say, you are the one that cornered me. I got no choice but to answer the fact. Because if you don't corner me, I know how to do my part. I will say, okay, I will resolve it with the architect. But you are not doing it. You want me to take the blame. How can I take the blame for something that is nothing to do with my office? So that's how I resolve it. And after that, the architect respect me like mad. He said, Mr. Teo, I know you're very experienced. Any other problem that you identify next time, please come to me first. Don't bring it out in the meeting. And he said, is there any other problem? I said, yes, a lot of problem. Well, then he starts to realize he's turning circle for bus, not and now a lot of things not right in his drawing. Then he really become very different. After that, he treat me very well in the meeting. He never shout already. Kemas pakat, never already. He said, oh, this item is, I think, Mr. Teo one. Is Mr. Teo around? Oh, yeah, Mr. Teo, come. Can you report? He become very different. So things can change. It can become different, like my daughter went through, I went through. I think for you is to identify the actual problem, pinpoint it, and resolve it. Can be done, PJ, don't worry. Huh? I know you are facing tough time because your job is very tough. And as a lady, for you, it's even more difficult. But can be done. Noble A4 power can be applied well when you have the true understanding and stability of understanding. Be patient. Resolve things clearly, means one at a time. This is a very important advisor for those who are working. When you got a lot of work, don't panic. Don't worry. Don't be under pressure. Don't stress yourself out unnecessary. Write them down. One by one, write them down. I remember during the early days when I was going through my career, I have a lot of things to do. Then I write them down. Then I solve them one by one. Every time I resolve it, that issue is gone. I don't want to let it continue to hang. If it continue to hang, it will snowball, it will accumulate. So I resolve one by one. Then I realized, in that way, I become very efficient. I only need to make a decision to have a solution, then I resolve it. The moment I resolve, finish. Resolve, finish. That's why all the backlog, 3 over years backlog, I clear everything within 3 months. All the complaint gone. It was a maintenance department, and we do also development, and we manage a very big estate. We have 10 over 1,000 tenders and subunaka in a year. And it's a lot of work and activity, and you somehow need to design, get the spec, call tender, evaluate tender, recommendation, then award and administer the tender and contract. And it's a lot of work. Then I actually transform a lot into annual contract so that I can actually help to resolve all this. Well, when I do it with annual contract, I don't have to call so many tenders. I can use it for 1 year, sometimes for 2 years. Then I apply the same rate. Then the contractor is also happy because they know if they get the tender, they are sure the payment and the job. That's why they are willing to competitively bid for it. Then there are many other ways to resolve things through understanding. So the madhouse can be turned around. That's how I did it. And that time I was at the prime of my career actually at the age of 40 plus, before I retire. That was the place I stayed quite long in the government before I went to the private sector. So I resolved all those things. Then I decided to test myself to come out into society. So that time a lot of things happened, but no problem with the Dhamma, I just resolve it. So PJ, hopefully, huh, you can also have the ability to resolve all this.
Ratio, I know this is for me to learn. You know, today I received a Dhammapada verse, which says that more or less it's like see what people have not see not what people have done or people have not done, but look at yourself. You know, it's a way like not to blame people for what things have happened. So it's for me to learn.
Be mindful of your own shortfall instead of picking other people's shortfall, so that you can improve yourself. It's easy to see other people's fault and shortfall, but it's not easy to see oneself's own shortfall and fault. Very good. So when you see that, you can actually learn, because when you understand that everyone has its shortfall. Very good, Sadhu. So
thanks, thank you so much, Ratio.
No problem, Sadhu. You're most welcome. So today I think we have a very fruitful discussion. Sadhu to everyone, including PJ, Mayuan, and Pojay. And there's another person in between. Ananda, yes. So today we got four. Thank you. So let us rejoice. Sadhu.
Sadhu.